Okay, so we are about to begin Perek Chaf Vav of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, chapter 26. Before we do that, though, we left off, really, we were in the middle of discussing the very last pasuk of Perek Chaf Hei, the very last verse of chapter 25, which mentioned that Shaul gave his daughter Michal as a wife, or the wife of David, as a wife to Palti Ben Laish. So Shaul basically takes Michal, his daughter, who's currently married to David, and gives her to someone else. I mean, it doesn't say explicitly as a wife, but that's definitely the implication of the pasuk. So what is going on here? How could he do this? How are we to understand what's going on? So, there is a Gemara. We'll see the Gemara has one approach, and the Radak takes a different approach to this. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin. We started talking about it briefly last week, but basically what it comes down to is, according to the Gemara, is first of all, the way that Shaul thought that this was acceptable was because the way that Shaul thought this was acceptable was because they because he held that the Kiddushin of Michal to David was not valid. Basically, the Gemara says, we know that originally David was supposed to, after defeating Goliath, was awarded Shaul's daughter as a wife. It was supposed to be the older daughter, Merav. It ended up not being Merav. It ended up being that Merav was given to another man, and also a question of the Kiddushin to David, and then he ended up with Michal. Now, how was the Kiddushin done with Michal? So in addition to being awarded Shaul's daughter as a wife for defeating Goliath, for killing Goliath, David was also to be awarded a lot of money. Now, he was also to be awarded a lot of money. Now, Shaul had not yet paid him. So Shaul owed him a lot of money, and now he owed him his daughter. So Shaul agreed to accept Kiddushin from David, as basically David would forgive part of the loan, part of the money that was owed to him, and that would be the money for Kiddushin to marry Michal. But not only that, but he also sent David out to kill 100 Plishtim and bring back their foreskins. And that was also to be part of the Kiddushin, was the Mea Arlos Plishtim, the 100 Plishti foreskins. So the Gemara says that the question was, what did they actually have in mind for the Kiddushin? Shaul held that you had in mind the loan, the forgiving the loan. That was your Kiddushin. And Mekadesh B'milva, Ena Mekudeshes, that's not a valid Kiddushin. It doesn't take effect. You can't be Mekadesh, a woman, by forgiving a loan. That is, that's what Shaul held, and therefore Shaul said, okay, she was never married to you, David, and I can give her to Palti as a wife. And David held that, David said, no, my mind, I had intent for the foreskins to be the Kiddushin. And they have a very minuscule value, but they have a value more than a pruta. And therefore, the Kiddushin is good. And David held that it was a good Kiddushin. That's the Gemara's first explanation. The Gemara's second explanation is no. They both agree that the foreskins were intended as the Kiddushin. What they disagreed upon was whether the foreskins had any value. According to Shaul, they had no value, and therefore there was no Kiddushin, and David was never married to Michal, and so Shaul could take Michal and hand her over to another man as a wife. And David held that, no, the foreskins have value. You could feed them to animals. It may be very minute, but it has more than a pruta of value, and therefore the Kiddushin was good, and therefore he felt that he was married to Michal.
How about the effort to obtain them? Didn't that have value? Value?
Right. I'm not sure. I don't think so. But now we're on the last pasuk of the last pasuk.
What about the, are you assuming that David did not live with Michal?
Before or after? After?
After they got married.
You know they set up house because she let him out. They let him out the window.
Right. But I'm saying that they didn't have relations, and if not, would they have been married? But even if the foreskins didn't count.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe if it's not intended as kiddushin, then, meaning two a man and a woman who are not married, who have relations together, don't become married automatically. It's not kiddushin automatically.
You have to, after his father had passed away,
if they held that they had kiddushin, it's not the case. It's not true. First of all, you need edim. You need edim kiddushin. You need edim that they had yichud. So it's not necessarily kiddushin. If there's no witnesses.
Didn't the king's whole court qualify as edim?
If what they witnessed them going together?
Secluded.
Yeah, but I don't know if they did. You have to make sure there's no exits. We know there were exits, right? They went out the back window, right? When at a wedding, when they go into the yichud room, so the edim, the witnesses, go into the room first to make sure that there's no
secret trap to it.
That there's no, well, to make sure there's no one else in there. I think they also are making sure that there's no other way out. I'm pretty sure.
Didn't know that when I was there. Didn't know that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a problem. If there's another way out.
Tell me that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that would make a difference. Right, the fact that there's another way out wouldn't necessarily stop from being yichud. So, right. So maybe they're not checking for that. Maybe they're just checking for that there's no one in there. I'm not sure. Anyways, I hear the question. The Gemara doesn't assume that way. Maybe there were no edim on it. Maybe it wasn't intending as kiddushin. I mean, by that logic, every man and woman who think that they're married would be married, and then we don't treat that way in halacha.
No, that's not my logic. My logic is that the daughter of the king was given to this guy, lived with him in the palace, on the palace grounds. What are the odds that they didn't go through a proper ceremony or that they didn't actually live together? Odds are zero. I mean, right, the king would never have stood for such a dishonor on his name. So, right, you have all the proof you need.
Apparently he does.
Well, apparently, right. He's yanking her out of the marriage. So.
And the king
and he's giving her to another man.
He gave her some type of get.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to the get shortly, okay? But the Gemara doesn't go with that. Okay, there's another Gemara which is intertwined with this, which is that the Gemara says that one place he's called Palti here. He's called Palti Ben Laish, but in Shmuel Beis later, he's going to be called Paltiel. So what was his actual name? Was it Palti or Paltiel?
Lots of times, though, we just had it in the Parsha where they dropped the kales from the name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The same person with one has the kale in the name.
Who?
Huh?
We had in this week's Parsha?
Not this week's Parsha. I think last week's Parsha.
Okay.
I can find you.
Could be. So the Gemara says that his name was Palti, but he was called Paltiel, meaning God was Palti him. Palti means to like float, is like to escape. Lefalet. So Shepilato kel min avera. Hashem saved him from an avera. What happened? The Gemara says, a famous Gemara, I think, he took a sword and he placed it in the bed between him and his wife. Amar, and he said, "Kol ha'osik b'davar zeh yidakar b'cherev zeh." Whoever, you know, tries anything is going to get stabbed with this sword, meaning him or his wife. So I guess they were being forced to live together, but he put a sword between them so that they wouldn't come to have relations. And really, this is the only way to understand how David was able to remarry. Well, okay, let's put that aside for a second. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Now, the Radak brings down these Gemaras, and the Radak feels like some at this table feel that these Gemaras are rechokim miderech hapshat. They are far from the simple understanding to explain that that's what happened. Says the Radak, rather hanachon be'enai, what actually happened in my eyes is that David gave Michal a get, a divorce document. He properly divorced her. We know that Shaul hated David after he married her. David had to run away. And when Shaul saw David on the run, even though he would come back here and there, he forced David to give his daughter a get so that she wouldn't remain aguna. David's on the run. She's sitting there lonely by herself. So Shaul insisted that she get a get. And I guess David agreed. Now, one second, though. Because if David gave her a get and divorced her, and now she married another man, so if she gets divorced from that man, is she allowed to remarry David? No. It's called machzir grushaso. It's forbidden to remarry someone that you divorced in the situation where they went and married another man in between.
It's a matter of whether the marriage was consummated.
Yes. So the Radak says, well, he says, I think, a different thing. He says, that the reason why David felt he could remarry her was because David held that it wasn't a good get. It was a get me'use. It was a forced get. Forced get's not a good get. She was really married to him still.
We just had that Daf Yomi. Forced get.
So the Radak says, so wait a second, go back the other way. The Beis Din that allowed for this get, did they not know that the get was pasul? So, says the Radak, they must have held that it was good, and that this was the will of the king. But he says, basically he says, it's possible that when David gave the get in front of the witnesses who were his friends, he said to them, you should know that I'm being forced to give this get. I'm not really willing to give this get, but here it is. So the Beis Din didn't necessarily know about that, but David knew that he was being forced, and it was not a good get, and says the Radak, Palti knew this, Palti did not know this, and neither did Michal, and they thought that there was a good get, and they thought that they were really married, and therefore, even if they did consummate it, it didn't matter because it was all betos.
They weren't consummated. So
right, exactly.
That's true. They knew that it was, or they thought that was good. Why weren't they consummated?
Right, no, right. Meaning they never, what I mean is it never became a real marriage because she was never really divorced from David, but she didn't know this, and David didn't tell her because that way it would all be ba'ones, and she wouldn't be. And she won't be responsible for her actions, and that's what happened. That's what the Radak says.
Are you saying that the bad get was before David met Abigail or after?
Well, Abigail doesn't really have anything to do with the story. This part of the story, it was probably before. This is with Michal. You know, in those days, you know, David had plenty of wives. The fact, you know, Abigail didn't really affect this part of the story.
Unless the king was offended by his son-in-law taking wives in addition to a princess.
Right.
Which is probably his motivation here. He was probably mortally offended by
David's. At this point. you mean that right after it says that he married these women, then Shaul goes and takes Micha.
Exactly. I think that's what was really going on here.
I may have seen someone who made such a that point.
People should have more reliance upon Hashem, should even have more mitachon, should be davening more, should commit more, and should be less self-reliant in terms of relying on
that. Malbim.
Malbim. Yeah. Okay. Says the Malbim. Hisar Shaul is that the reason why Shaul did this? David marry other women without her permission. Without checking with Michal, it's kimoes bevas hamelech. It's disgusting to the daughter of the king. It's not right to marry other women. This awakened new hate for David from Shaul. And yeah, good, excellent. Okay, we're ready to begin Perek Chafav, chapter 26. Vayavo hazifim el Shaul hagivasalemor. And the zifim came to Shaul in Giva, saying, the zifim are back. The zifim were the people who tried to turn over David last time. They seem to be an anti-David group. And they said, hello, David mistater begivas hachachila. David is hiding in the hill of Chachila. Al penea yishimon. By the... Yeshimon, wherever that is, place. So they tell Shaul where David's hiding. So Shaul, who previously had decided to stop chasing, basically after we had the story with the cave and David spares Shaul's life, Shaul promises that he's not going to hunt David anymore. But then we see already in the last chapter, David's back on the run, as if Shaul is after him, and he's hungry, and he needs food, and he needs to ask Nabal for help. And now again, Shaul is going to come after David. By Yakom Shaul, Pasuk Beis. And Shaul got up, by Yered al Midbar Zif, and he went down to Midbar Zif, Vitosh, Loshes, Alafim, Ish, Bechure, Yisrael. And with him were 3,000 men, the choicest of the Israelites. Vavakish is David, Midbar Zif, to seek out David in the Midbar Zif, in the Zif desert. Vayichan Shaul begivas hachachila, asher apnei yishimon al haderech. And Shaul camped by Givas hachachila, by this hill, which was by the Yishimon, on the way. The David Yoshev ba Midbar. And David, we're in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3 of chapter 26. And David was sitting in the midbar. Vayar kiva Shaul acharav hamidbara, and he saw that Shaul was coming after him in the desert. Basically, David had a lookout, and he saw a big group coming. Now we'll see that when it says vayar in this pasuk, and he saw, it doesn't mean that he actually saw for sure. We'll see in the next pasuk he's going to have to verify his information, but he was pretty sure. He saw this great band, this great army coming, 3,000 men, and he thought that maybe this was Shaul coming after him again. Vayishlach David miraglim, and David sent spies. Vayeda kiva Shaul el nachon, and now he knew that Shaul was here. He knew correctly that Shaul had come. Vayakam David vayavo el hamakom asher chana sham Shaul. And David got up and he came to the place where Shaul was camping. Vayar David es hamakom asher shachav sham Shaul. And he saw the exact place where Shaul was sleeping. The Avner ben Ner sar tzivo. And Shaul's general, Avner, the son of Ner. V'Shaul shochev b'magol v'ha'am chonim sivivosav. And Shaul was sleeping in the circle with the nation camped around him. So it sounds like Shaul was in the middle of the camp. Shaul was in the middle of the camp, and David, and he was surrounded by soldiers. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayan David vayomer al Achimelech Achiti. And David answered and he said to Achimelech, who was with him, he was a Hittite, Vel Avishai ben Tzruya, Achi Yoav lemor. And he said to Avishai, the son of Tzruya, who was, Avishai was the brother of Yoav. Yoav is going to be David's general. Yoav is going to be a very important person. His brother was Avishai. And he said to Avishai, Lamar, saying, Mi yerid iti yo shala lamachane. He said to these two people, who's going to come down with me to Shal? I'm going in. I'm going into that camp. Who's coming with me? Vayomer Avishai, ani eired imach. And Avishai said, I will go with you. Vayavo David Avishai ala am laila. And David and Avishai came to the nation at night. Vine Shaul shochev yashan bamaga. And Shaul was sleeping, was lying and sleeping in this circle. The truth is, it didn't say he was sleeping before. Before it said he was lying there, but yeah, I'm not sure. V'chaniso me'ucha v'aretz merashosav. So Shaul is sleeping there, and his spear is stabbed into the ground next to his head. Ve'avner ve'am shochvim sevivosav. And Avner and the nation and the people are sleeping around Shaul. And David is sneaking into the camp with Avishai. Vayomer Avishai al David. And Avishai said to David, Sigar Elokim hayom esel yivcha biyodecha. Today God has locked in your enemy for you. He's all yours. Everyone's sleeping, right? They didn't expect any attack here. There's nobody to attack them, so they left up no guards. We'll see that there was a little bit of divine intervention also over here, that everyone's sleeping. The Pasuk will tell us that later.
There's,
yeah, usually even, right, you always have someone guarding. So we'll see that Hashem put them all to sleep. And everyone's sleeping, and they come into the camp, and Avishai says, okay, David, here's your big chance. God has handed you your enemy. V'ata, and now, akenu na b'chanis uva'aretz pam achas. I, says Avishai, I will strike him and the ground in one shot. Meaning, I'll take that spear that's right next to his head, and I'll put it right through him all the way into the ground. And that'll be the end of Shaul. V'lo eshnelo, and I won't even need to do it a second time. I'll do it. Pam achas v'lo eshnelo. I won't have to repeat it. One stab, and Shaul will be dead. What do you think, David? Vayomer David al Avishai. And David said to Avishai, Al tashchiseyu. Do not strike him. Ki mi shalach yado b'mashiach Hashem v'nika. Because who can strike against the anointed one of God and be queen? This is Hashem's anointed one. We cannot... it's not our job.
He was the anointed, and David was anointed. So.
Well, I don't know. Not necessarily
else,
take over in his lifetime.
Even if everybody else did know it, he knew it.
But not necessarily to take over in his lifetime. Right, he was never told that. So David held clearly and probably, you know, correctly that Shaul was still king, and he shouldn't be killing him. He's chashav, he's special, he's the anointing one of Hashem. Hashem chose him as the king. How could you possibly strike him? Vayomer, Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vayomer David, and David said, Chai Hashem, he swears by God's name, Ki im Hashem yigafenu, that either, and he's either swearing to stop himself from doing it, that he's swearing to Avishai that if you kill him, I'm going to do something to you. But he says there's three ways that Shaul can die, and it's not going to be through me. Either ki im Hashem yinigafenu, Hashem will send a plague, o yomo yavo vameis, or his day will come and he'll die, o vamilchama yered v'nisba, or he'll die in battle. Meaning, either Hashem will cut his... meaning, everybody is allotted a specific time for their lifetime before they enter the world. And sometimes Hashem will shorten that lifespan. Sometimes Hashem will extend that lifespan. And sometimes the person will just live till exactly the moment that they were destined to live the whole time. So David says either Hashem will bring some kind of sickness upon him and he'll die earlier than he allotted, or Yomo Yavo Vames, or his day that's allotted to him, will come. Oh, Vamilchama Yerid Vinispa, or he'll die in battle. Now, the Radak learns that David was also intending here to say that Shaul doesn't have so much time left. He's going to die soon. How does David know that? So either, the Radak says, either Shmuel told him, the Navi, Shmuel HaNavi told him before he died that Shaul was going to die soon, or David is just intuiting it from logic, that he knows that he was anointed king. He was just, so he's going to be taking over sometime soon. So it must be that Shaul is going to die soon. So he tells Avishai, he's going to die soon, either because Hashem is going to take his life through sickness or in battle, or because his allotted time is coming and he's going to die.
Right,
that's what he's saying. So it must be that he's going to die soon. Chalila li me Hashem, mishloach yadi b'mashiach Hashem. Again, God forbid that I strike, stick out my hand against the Anointed One of God. Ve'ata. So what am I going to do instead? What's he doing there if he's not going to kill Shaul? Right? If he doesn't want to kill Shaul, what did he come for? Ve'ata. Now, kach no es hachanis asher mera hashosav. Take the spear that's next to his head, ve'es tzapach asamayim, and his water jug, v'neil chalanu, and let us leave. Vayikach David es hachanis ve'es tzapach asamayim merashosei shal. And David took the spear and the water jug from the head of Shaul. Verse 12. Why did, in the last pasuk, he tells Avishai to do it? But then it says that he did it. And Farshim said he didn't trust Avishai. He thought if Avishai did it, he basically changed his mind. He said, I'm not letting you near that spear, because I think that you're, if I, I'm nervous that you'll kill him. So David's the one who takes the stuff. Vayelchu lahem, and they went. Ve'en ro'eh, and there was nobody who saw. Ve'en yodea, and nobody knew. Ve'en mekitz, and nobody awoke. Ki chulam yeshenim, they were all sleeping. Ki tardemas Hashem naflo aleihem, because a sleep from God had fallen upon them. So here's where it says that Hashem put them to sleep. Now, let me ask you, why would he take the spear, and why would he take the water?
Because they would be conspicuous by their absence. That they would send a message.
Okay.
Just a spear by itself.
What? Well, if he has a spear and could kill him.
Right, so that's right. I'm saying, well, it made sense to say that. Why was it that that was... I assume that was not the only war that they had.
Shaul had a tendency to grab the spear and throw it at anybody who was near him.
Right, all right. Yeah. Right. That's the spear.
Okay, so we understand, for sure understand the spear. It's either to show that I could have killed you, I was holding the spear, or because if Shaul wakes up like while he's grabbing something else, then that spear is going to end up through him. So he wants to make sure to grab Shaul's spear. So why did he take the water, though? So I saw quoted from a sefer, Likutei Mariach. I don't know who this is, but fascinating, very original pshat. He says, that we know that the halacha is that when you wake up in the morning, you're not allowed to walk 4 amos without first washing your hands. Now with the house, so the post can say a house can have the halacha of dal amos. So you know, some people keep an egel vasa right by their bed to fulfill this to the fullest. Some people will walk to the bathroom or wherever to wash their hands. But that's the halacha. You can't walk dal amos without first washing your hands. So he says that's why David took the water. Because we understand this, he says again, right, the spear, so if Shaul wakes up, so then he'll put the spear through him. But what about the water? So he says, because now, if Shaul wakes up and catches him, he won't be able to move more than Dal Gamos, because he won't have his water to wash with. And by the time they bring him more water, so he would be long gone.
When was that rule instituted? Was it post-destruction?
I don't know. It comes from a Zohar. But I don't know where...
Sounds like it was before.
Well, maybe. Yeah, quite, unless he's backdating the practice to... before the first temple.
Also, you may not necessarily not just spear the way.
What?
You may not necessarily not just spear the way, but when he sees a water disappear, he'll just
wait. Anyways,
not just other stuff.
It's a very original idea.
And so nobody else says anything about the weather.
I didn't see anything else about the water.
Here
right.
Either. I was thinking it,
again, it's just,
the
what?
I was thinking that. All right, just, it makes sense. But what's with the water?
Right.
Water is a precious thing in the desert.
That's what?
I thought there was wine.
Water
in
the desert is a precious
right.
thing.
It's precious, right, when you're traveling. Anyways, yeah. Again, it could just be, you know, he wanted two things, and that was... just a second thing, really, to show that he was really right in there.
Yeah, but in as to the spear, the previous verse says that you will place it in the ground next to him.
Yeah.
As if it would be something he would grab immediately if he thought that there was danger.
Right.
So by taking it away, it's basically sending a message, I could have killed you.
Right. Yeah. That's what he's going to tell him. Now, one more thing that we should mention here. So, we previously referenced this obscure medrash in the Alpha Besa de Ben Sira. About we talked about it, the more famous one about basically over here it's a recording of conversations between Nebuchadnezzar and I don't remember who and someone and one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar asked was. I think they also quote this medrash that it was David who asked this question. I think they also say that David asked, what was the purpose of creating spiders? So we had the medrash that when David was on the run from Shaul, the spider made a web over the cave when David was inside, and Shaul said, oh, he must not be in that cave, and he didn't go in, and that spider saved David's life. Now, one of the other things that he asks about is, what is the purpose of a tzira? What is the purpose of a tzira? A tzira is some kind of stinging insect. Maybe it's like a wasp or something like that. What is the purpose of it? So here, the Medrash has a story relating to this. The purpose of the tzira was realized, David realized the purpose, and Nebuchadnezzar was taught the purpose based on this account. Because when David found Shaul sleeping, interestingly, by the way, the way it says it here is that it was Shochei Batzaraim, it was the afternoon. I don't know where that comes from, but it says it was the afternoon. I don't know why everybody is sleeping. I guess they're right, they were put to sleep. But it says that Avner was sleeping by the opening of either the camp or the fence or the tent or whatever it was. Avner was blocking it, and it says his head was by one opening and his feet were by the other. That's what it says. I don't know if this is, again, it's hard to picture this exactly. There's two openings. But basically, Avner was not really, was in a position where he there was room for David to get through. Bav v'nichnas b'beng raglav. So David came between his legs. Vayu raglav zekufos.
And he was sleeping like this.
His legs were up, right. It says his legs were up. I don't know if Shaul was under him, but he was blocking. He was not blocking the doorway. So, but then when David was on his way out, so Avner stretched out his legs and somehow David was sort of caught between his legs. Like, he stretched out his legs, and David was in between. And this is Avner sleeping. But this is now the position that he's in, and David is kind of stuck there. And it says that David davened at this moment. And what did he daven? He davened the capital of Tehillim, Keili, Keili, lama azavtani, my Lord, why have you abandoned me in this moment? I'm trapped. Trapped between Avner's legs, and I can't escape. At that moment, a miracle happened, and Hashem sent a tzira, a wasp, or some kind of insect like that, and a flea. Okay, and it bit Avner's leg, but not enough to wake him up, but enough that he flinched and he moved his legs, and David was able to get out, and he praised God for saving him. And then he realized the purpose of creation of the tzira.
Flea bite hurts less than a wasp bite.
So you're saying it maybe if it was a wasp, people would have woken up. But it was a flea bite. Okay, could be.
If you haven't gotten a wasp sting,
that's the Medrash of Ben Sira. Okay.
First of all, as we noted, the Rambam is not talking to people his generation. The Rambam is talking to people of this generation. The Rambam is discussing.
Okay, Pasuk Yudalad. Sorry, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Vayavar David Ha'ivir, and David crossed to the other side of some water that was there. Vayamod Arosh Ahar Merachok, and he stood on the mountain from afar. Rav Hamakom, and there was a lot of space in between them. Vayikra David El Ha'am, and David called out to the nation, Vel Avner Ben Ner Lamar, and to Avner, and he said, Halosane Avner. He said, Avner, answer. Vayang Avner Vayomer, and Avner answering, he's saying, Miata Karasa El Hamelech. Who are you calling to the king? Now, how do you know he was calling to the king? All he said was, hey, Avner. Avner's not the king. How did you know he was calling to the king?
Well, it would be disrespectful to call directly or distant.
Good. So, the Malbim says that if he wanted to call Avner, he would have called a lower officer. If you want to call the king, you call Avner. So Avner knew he was calling for the king. That's what the Malbim says. And Avner says, Miata Karasa Mel, who are you calling to the king? Farshim say, you're going to wake up the king. What are you doing making all this noise? You're going to wake up the king. Vayomer David al Avner. And David said to Avner, hello, Ishata. You're a man, Avner. And who is like you amongst Israel? You're supposed to be, you know, the strong guy. Why did you not guard your master, the king? Because someone from the nation came to try to kill the king. Avishai, right? Avishai wanted to kill Shaul. It's not good what you've done. Chai Hashem, ki bnei mavis atem. He says, you guys, he swears again, he says, you're deserving of death for not protecting the king. Asher lo shemartem al adonecha mal Mashiach Hashem. You didn't protect your master, the anointing one of Hashem. Terrible guys. V'ata re'eh. And now, take a look, Avner. Eich anisa melech v'estapachas amai Mashiach Mirashos. Where is his spear and his water jug that was by his head? Where is it? You're not going to find it.
See, you're cursing at me. Chai Hashem. Curse.
Could be. Yeah, I'm not sure. Vayakir Shaul is called David. And Shaul recognized the voice of David Vayomer, and he said, "Hakol chazeh b'ni David, is this your voice, David?" Vayomer David koli Adoni Amelech, and David said, "Yes, it's my voice, my master, the king." Vayomer, and he said, "Lama ze Adoni rodef achare avdo? Why?" My master, David is saying to Shaul, why, master, are you still chasing after your servant? What have I done? What evil is in my hand? Now listen, my master, the king, as Divri Abdo, the words of your servant. If the reason you're chasing me is because Hashem is encouraging you, is tempting you, then yarach mincha. Then what I'll do is I'll have to appease Hashem. I'll have to do tshuva. I'll have to bring a carbon to Hashem that he will a mincha that he'll be mariach. He'll smell. He'll get, and then it should end. Right? If this is being caused by Hashem, so I'll bring a carbon mincha. V'im b'nei ha'adam. But if it's people that are encouraging you, arurim heim lifnei Hashem, they are cursed before Hashem. Ki gershuni hayom, because they have expelled me today, mistapeach benachalas Hashem, from clinging to the inheritance of Hashem, from remaining in the land of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. Lamar saying, Lech avod Elohim acherim, go serve other gods. What's that about? It's very strange, right? He says they're if it's people that are causing this, then let them be cursed, because they are expelling me today from remaining in the land of Hashem. They're saying, go worship other gods. So what is he saying? He's saying something very, very important. He says that he's saying they're causing me to run. I'm going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael, right? I'm on the run because of them. So I'm going to end up in a land of idolatry. And what happens when a person is in a land of idolatry? What happens when we're in a certain environment? So we naturally become influenced by that environment. We become like them. So basically, they're causing me to have to leave Eretz Yisrael. They're telling me, go worship idols. Go worship idols. So that's what he's telling them. Now, who is he talking about? Who are these people that may be encouraging and egging Shaul on to chase after David? So the Medrash tells us that Avner was one of the main people in this. If you go back to Pasuk Yudalim, back to verse 14. So David says, he calls to Avner and he says, Halosane Avner. Avner, now answer. So the Medrash says, what was he saying? He was saying, try to answer this one. You'll have no response for this one. Last time, what happened was, right, remember the cave? So after they left the cave, Shaul promised he wouldn't chase after David. And then all of a sudden, he's chasing after David again. What happened? Why all of a sudden is he chasing after David? So the Medrash says that Avner said to Shaul, Shaul, don't believe this guy. Don't believe David that he could have killed you in the cave. He couldn't have killed you. If he had killed you, there was an entire army waiting outside this cave. He would have been a dead man. He didn't do this, you know, he doesn't care about you. He was just saving his own life. He was just saving his own life. So he doesn't, so, and that got Shaul to continue chasing after him. But now David says to Avner, Avner, halo sana Avner. Avner, answer this one. What are you going to say to this one? The Radak brings this medrash. What can you answer, Avner? What can you say about this? You should have been like mute. You shouldn't have said anything in the first place, etc. Now, the truth is that elsewhere, when the Radak talks about Avner's death, he does tell us that Avner even had a response for this. In Shmuel Beis. Where is this? Parak Gimel, chapter 3. Pasuk Chaf Vav. So here, this is right as Yoav, right before Abner is killed. So the Radak comments that even here, Abner deflected David's words, and he said that, you know how David has your spear and your water? One of your lads forgot it. He forgot it behind, and David found it. Oh, you thought it was by your head? No, you left it there. That's what happened. You left it on the road, on the way. And that's how David got his hands on it.
What about the concept you're not supposed to curse another Jew? David could say it on the road, David could... I didn't think about why the person of the Jew. So the question is, Kai Hashem, maybe that was the person, maybe it wasn't. Here he's saying, quite clearly.
So I guess in this type of situation, you are, I guess. Okay. Pasuk Chav.
He acknowledged that David took it, that Abner was somewhat incompetent and did mistake. So it's
right.
His own best interest.
Right,
exactly. Like,
right, that's a good point. It's in Abner's interest to make up a story, because otherwise Abner looks bad. Okay. Perek Chaf. The Ata now. Al Yipol Dami Arza. Do not spill my blood to the ground. Mineged Pnei Hashem. From in front of Hashem. Ki Yatza Melch Yisrael Levakish Es Pyrosh Echad. Because the king has gone out searching for one, like a Pyrosh, I think it's like a bed bug or something. A little bug you're searching for. He's speaking with humility. Kasher Yirdov HaKorei Beharim. Just like the Korei bird looks for bugs in the mountains. That's you. You're looking for a little bug. And Shaul says, I've sinned. Return, my son David. I won't do any more evil to you. Because I was so valued to you on this day. I have been a fool of Eshkin. I've made mistakes. Harbin me'od, very much. I've made great mistakes. Vayan David vayomer, and David said, Hine chanis hamelech, here's your spear. Vayavor echa me'anarim ha'ikachem. Vayavor echa me'anarim ha'ikachem. Let one of your lads come and get it. David's not so comfortable yet walking back into the trap, right back into the camp. He says, send one of your boys across to get the spear and I'll give it back.
Is the pa'os? When the Midrash got the idea of the stinging
Tzira?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think it's related.
Kind of ugly.
Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23. Vashem Yashiv Lo Ishes Tzidkaso Vesamunaso. David gives himself a bracha. Hashem should return, should reward a person for his Every person, really. It's not just for him. It's for everyone. Should reward a person for his tzidkus, his righteousness, and his emunah, his trust. Asher nisanch Hashem ayom biyad, that Hashem gave you Shaul into my hand today. I didn't allow myself to strike against the anointed one of Hashem. And behold, just like your life was important to me, your life, Shaul, was important to me today, so too my life should be great in the eyes of Hashem, and he should save me from any tragedy. Vayomer Shaul el David, and Shaul said to David, Baruch ata b'ni David, David, you are very blessed. Gamasosaseh, you're going to do great things. The gam yachol tuchal, and you're going to have a lot of hatzlacha, of success. Vayelech David ledarko, and David went on his way. The Shaul shav lemekomo, and Shaul returned to his place. Is something that felt appropriate without